technical difficulties? Resonance 104.4 FM. And this is Technical Difficulties, Resonance 104.4 FM. We are at the end of our run. It is 2010 and Resonance FM is about to go on a Christmas break, and I've got a slightly longer break after that because, frankly, I'm a bit too kind of achy to sit through the English winter. So I'm going to go and warm up for a bit. So we are back in February, and this is the look back at 2010 in the disabled world. I have with me Stephen Lee Hodgkins from Disability Lib.
Hi Tim, nice beard, I'm liking that.
Well, to explain briefly to those of us that clearly can't see what my beard looks like.
It's beautiful.
I basically have a full face of hair to keep myself warm in this freezing city that we live in at the moment. And so So we're in December right now, and it's been a pretty full year.
Yeah, so much going on. Lots of disabled people lost their jobs. Gordon Brown, well, he was out, wasn't he?
Yeah, not before he was abused at least a few times in various media outlets and by various people of varying levels of intelligence for his disability.
Yeah, I always think that he kind of, he's visually impaired, people kind of, there was like a classic sort of discrimination going on around his visual impairment. Like, people didn't, like, thought he was, like, rude and arrogant, but actually there were, you know, and there is that sort of spirited stuff about him, but he did kind of, I often thought, there was a few things in those, you know, the televised debate stuff where kind of, I think his visual impairment kind of, people's perception of it put him at a disadvantage because they were seeing, like, him being rude or being something else. Because he's not, you know, he wasn't able to read the cues, like, in this visual world.
Yeah, and I think there were some maxillofacial injuries that, as well, that actually...
Yeah.
Because I remember specifically people commenting on his lack of a smile.
Yeah.
But actually there were maxillofacial reasons why he couldn't easily grin in the way that most of us would hopefully be able to. He left, and eventually when parliamentarians sat down and sorted themselves out, he was replaced by a Conservative MP with an unusually high experience of the NHS from an actual personal perspective as opposed to from an organisational one, and who sadly lost his son.
Yeah.
After a pretty acute period of illness and disability, and it was an interesting to see how he used, not abused, but just used in a non-judgmental sense, his experience of his personal experiences of healthcare when he was talking about it. Although how that reflects now, given what
is going on,
what the government is doing to disabled people as a whole, is an interesting question.
There was some interesting TV footage earlier in the year where he was confronted by a disabled child with his dad, and they were saying to him, you know, like, your proposed changes will mean that my son goes to segregated school. You know, like, you know, how do you justify that? And I think kind of disability lobby hoped for more, you know, having him, you know, because they'd had that experience. But there you go.
Yeah, and I think whilst we're on the subject of the people involved on the political side of disability provision at the moment, we had I think it's probably most of the year, but there was a poll for Disabled Legend, and the person who ended up top of that list was Baroness Campbell of Surbiton, who is, amongst other things, the chairman of the all-party parliamentary group on disability. So in a world full of hard-working disability activists, we ended up with a professional politician as our disabled legend.
She does have a bit of a history in the disability lobby, and there is a great bit of footage from the 90s of her being outside the telethon activities of, you know, where you know, celebrities like Chris Tarrant were trying to, you know, throw jelly over themselves to raise money for poor little Crips, and she, you know, so she's got a bit of form, although it was interesting to see that kind of politics beats people, because the second on the list was long-standing disability activist Johnny Crescendo, who kind of, it's got more of an artsy route, you know. So it's interesting how it plays out, eh?
Yeah. I think, and there are some cases where, and I think Tanny Gray Thompson falls into this group of people I'm about to describe as well, that there are some people who use the publicity that they garner through their skill and direct it back into the disability rights movement and towards awareness of things.
Yeah.
And she's now in the House of Lords as well. But
Well, you don't get in there by easy chance, do you? I thought it was interesting as well, because I noticed on the honours list, on the New Year's honour list, like, some kind of, you know, you get these kind of hardened disability activists that kind of, you know, they oppose all the fascist regimes that get kind of imposed on disabled people, and then the minute they get offered an MBE or OBE, they're up there having a nice cup of tea and a cucumber sandwich in SW1.
Yeah,
I never quite get that. What is that about?
I don't know, but I wonder. I think, as the remaining politician on my list of people to discuss, You might correct me and tell me he's not a politician, but David Morris, who is no longer with us,
no,
worked with the Mayor of London as a disability advisor.
Yeah, David Morris was a really interesting guy. He kind of was like he was involved in setting up independent living initiatives, heavily involved in kind of campaigning for disabled people to get, you know, the resources to pay for themselves, to organise their own sort of support provision. And he was a great guy because he was heavily involved in like the you know, with Ken Livingstone's sort of mayoral strategy around disability, and he was also kind of dabbled in the arts, and I always thought him as a bit of a Renaissance man. I remember I went to a party at his flat. I didn't know him that well. I knew him for a friend of a friend, but you know, all Crips come together in the end. And I went along to this party, and you know, like there was kind of this, you know, there's this wacky food and, you know, there's all kind of stuff going on. And then someone got out the guitar and started playing the guitar. And then someone's assistant's dog, I think, like, walked across the floor and just pooped in the middle of it. So it was a nice touch. Those parties were called Red Jesus because he had this sort of... And it was a bit like of a cultural salon. And at the Liberty Festival this year, there was a Jude Gosling and others kind of set up this sort of tribute to him there, and they're looking to kind of forward that. And but he had this great approach where it was like, you don't have to be an artist to be an artist, you don't have to be a politician to be a politician, you know, like, you're human, you can do all of these things. And he was a lovely guy.
And there are unfortunately this year has been pockmarked with evidence of parties promising one thing and then when they actually get into a position of being able to do it, possibly completely doing the absolute opposite, and sometimes doing nothing at all.
How stupid are we? Why do we fall for it?
I mean, you and I were looking through the year's events, and there were two or three instances of the Liberal Democrats specifically pledging something. The listeners to this radio station will probably not be massively shocked that Liberal Democrats MPs pledged one thing and did something else, because that's clearly just happened down the road. But in the specific case of disability, we have pledges on winter fuel allowance.
Yeah, they kind of was all up for it, saying that they'd lead the way, and you know, to our kind of out of our incarceration to our liberation. But oh my God,
and
where are they now?
And they also promised to lead the way on disabled MPs in Parliament. I would argue possibly that didn't really help very much, given that the current Parliament has just managed, leading the way out of incarceration. That's an interesting expression to use, given that they've just that they're on the path to abolishing disability living allowance completely, and they already have abolished the mobility part for people in... I don't know how to put... they are in care homes. There are various ways to express that.
Yeah, and older people never got it anyway.
And it's just absolutely... It's pretty mind-blowing that you would take away... having already taken away the half of the benefit that relates to care, on the basis that care homes must be capable of looking after people's expenses, they then take away the transport so that they're actually... can't get any help getting away from the building either.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't understand how people can make these arguments. And so I won't try and explain it. I wait with bated breath for somebody that can.
Well, they've kind of been up to all kinds of stuff, haven't they? Let's be under no sort of false pretense here, kind of, we're talking about cuts and then we're talking about reform. Does that go together? You know, like, this is about kind of people working, you know, like, and that's fine, you know, you know work is a good thing, being active, that's a great thing, you know, like, and but kind of, you know, the thing around sort of disability living allowance is in the context of cuts. They want to kind of change it to reduce spending on it by 20%. Now, and the proportion of people that get DLA is really small in terms of, like, you know, you've kind of got to be really, you know, you've got to demonstrate some sort of hardship. The other thing that's kind of quite frustrating about what they're proposing is that one of the positive things about DLA is kind of the way the assessment works is because disability is so sort of, you know, it's a personal experience, and medical professions can test it all the time. Yeah. So the part of the reforms are geared at looking at how medical professionals will sort of assess it. So kind of, I've got dyslexia, dyspraxia, ADHD. Now these things kind of, you know, manifest in no simple way, let me tell you.
Yeah.
How you kind of get recognised as having that experience is quite interesting. And, you know, so the minute you start opening it up, you know, the state kind of surveys people more. And, you know, people will lose out. And you've got to remember as well, a lot of disabled people don't claim, you know, like they're entitled to it and they don't claim, and they do that because they want to kind of do things for themselves. They don't see it as a, they've been made to feel bad about that, and they don't see it as it's their entitlement to kind of help them be part of society and to contribute by doing whatever they do, you know, and this is just an attack on them.
Something that strikes me is that you get advertising campaigns from HMRC targeting people who haven't claimed tax credit. Forgive me if I'm wrong, but I don't remember ever seeing an advertising campaign asking people who should be claiming disability living allowance to claim it.
And the other thing as well is what's happened in sort of local authority sort of policy is that DLA ends up becoming like a passport to other things. So if you get DLA, you can get something else. So like you get your freedom pass, or you get your community care assessment will kind of be more favourably assessed if you've got DLA. So kind of cutting it will mean that the government will be shutting out more disabled people from entitlement. So kind of they're talking about making 20% savings. They'll end up making much more, and they know they're doing that. The other thing that happened as well is that there's, for some disabled people, the independent living fund is proposed to kind of go as well, and that will have a major impact on people's ability to kind of live independently. Housing benefit as well, major issue there.
Yeah, what's the can you explain the ILF to me? I couldn't get my head round what exactly it was.
Well, it's sort of like an additional benefit for kind of certain people with particular, you know, support needs or independent living needs to enable them to live independently. So kind of people might, it kind of comes after a certain level of entitlement, I think, and, you know, people will kind of get, you know, it's quite a lengthy process to get it. You have to kind of jump over a lot of hurdles to get it. It's being made more complicated to get it. So basically, it means that you have a certain package of care, and then kind of the ILF, kind of the independent living fund, sort of adds to that. Means that if you need a 24-hour support worker or that kind of thing.
It's it's possibly and a bit depressingly instructive of where we are as a country that footage of somebody being picked up out of their wheelchair and carried across a road, and then later on in the day actually kicked out of his wheelchair and dragged across a road, elicited such a mixed response, as opposed to a straightforward, this is clearly wrong. And I'm talking about Jodie McIntyre, a human rights activist who was on the student fees protest, and is not I think he's probably paraplegic, and therefore his brother was pushing his wheelchair, and therefore where he was where he had to be until there was enough room for him to get out of the way.
It's really interesting, kind of good on you Jodie for kind of being out there and protesting, and because disabled people have been kind of excluded from education in all kinds of way, and the student protest is very much relevant for disabled students. I thought I think it's interesting the kind of the, you know, the reaction to it as well, is because, you know, the police kind of treat all students particularly badly in that, you know, like head injury, that guy who had the brain surgery, I can't remember what his
Alfie
name was.
Alfie Meadows.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of pretty bad. You know, so, and what's interesting is that, you know, I mean, for me, kind of the police treat professors pretty badly anyway, and you know, he ended up kind of being dragged out. You know, it's good that he kind of is out there, and it's kind of bad that kind of people think that people were reacting like, oh, isn't it a poor, you know, what poor little disabled person out there being approached. I think people kind of were quite confused. He's a protester. Yeah. He's disabled. Yeah. Shouldn't he be at home having a
cup
of tea?
Well, I said to you, didn't I, that I'll say that I think it's the only instance I can remember in primetime news broadcasting during 2010 where somebody with severe cerebral palsy was interviewed. and I speak that is my condition. And so the first reaction I had was to be incredibly angry as a fellow person with cerebral palsy. But it just then struck me that's definitely what he has, and that it was therefore fascinating to see him being interviewed. It's just a shame that it had to be then. As ever with this programme, we are hurtling towards a conclusion. I have to say a thank you to all the guests over the past 12 or so weeks. Heartfelt thanks to the Technical Difficulties crew, Melanie Clifford, Dolly Sen, and Timothy Bonham Carter, and to the crew at Drake Music, without whose music it would have been a lot less interesting on these airwaves. And to all of you listening and following at Light Chronic on Twitter and facebook.com/Light Chronicles. We are actually back in February, so I have to say, between now and then, the government is asking for responses to the Disability Living Allowance consultation. So, grab yourself a pen.
Get involved.
http://www.dwp.gov.uk/consultations/2010/DLA-reform.8shtml. And that will obviously be up on lightchronicles.info when I can get it up there.
And tell them to leave it alone and stop abusing our human rights.
For all of us here at Resonance 104.4 FM, thanks for listening. With Resonance FM taking a technical break. Technical break. Hey, they'll be taking a Christmas break. I'm taking a break.
I'm having a technical break now. Technical breakdown.
We are Technical Difficulties. We will be back in the first week of February 2011.
Happy New Year.
Yes, and to everyone else. Wear your scars with pride. And remember, we all have technical difficulties. It's time to say goodbye.
Love it, Tim. I love it.
Solo sogno all'orizzonte e mancano le parole. Sì, lo so che non c'è luce in una stanza quando manca il sole. Se non ci sei tu con me, sì. Le finestre mostrar tutto il mio cuore che è acceso. Chiudi dentro me la luce che ho incontrato per strada.
sei lontana, sogno all'orizzonte, manca le parole. Io sì lo so che sei con me, con me. Tu mia luna, tu sei qui con me. Mio sole, tu sei qui con me, con me. Time to say goodbye. Paesi che non ho mai veduto e vissuto con te. Adesso sì li vivrò con te.
One H, two T's, a P, colon, two forward slashes, three W's, a dot, slade occupation, dot, tumblr.com.